Our gospel lesson today comes from Luke in the second chapter, beginning with verse 41, as we hear of Jesus, a young boy, in the temple in Jerusalem. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. And when the festival was ended, they started to return. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching with you in great anxiety." Then he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This Sunday, as we continue in our series of Prepare the Way, the word we're going to use to focus our time today is search. Search. It comes to us directly from the gospel story in Luke, as Jesus' family has to search for him. And when they finally find Jesus, he asks them, "Why were you searching for me?" The unique thing about this text is it's the only one that we have about Jesus' life between his infancy and his adulthood. And though it is a brief record of what happened in that one moment, it gives us some to think about Jesus. It helps us to see his humanity, that he was a normal boy, trained in the traditions of a Jewish family in his era. You see, the occasion was Passover, and Jesus, along with his parents and many other faithful Jews, family and friends, took the journey to Jerusalem, to the great temple there. And at some point, they decided it was time to return back to their home in Nazareth, and they began the journey. Only it was a day's journey in before they noticed that Jesus was missing. Now, not to say that Mary and Joseph were bad parents. I'm sure they were great parents. But they lost their son a day's journey into heading home from the big city. Now, it probably wasn't their fault. I mean, Joseph probably thought Jesus was with Mary, traveling with most of the women and some of the children, and Mary probably thought that Jesus was with Joseph, with all of the men, and probably some of the other older children. They both thought he was with the other one as they headed out. It's a scene that happened in my family a few years back. You see, I'm the oldest of four, and the third in order is my sister. Her name is Carol. It happened to be when Carol was in preschool. Her school was doing a Christmas program, and she was the star. No, not the star, but like the star of Bethlehem on the top, leading the wise men to where they were supposed to go. She was a star. And it was her program. So we'd gathered up that evening, gone to her program. It was over. Dad took a couple of the kids and went one direction to one car. Mom took another kid and headed her direction to her car. She was stopping at the store to pick up the last few things that were needed for dinner. And the plan was to all meet back at the house. Upon arriving home, they find they have groceries, two cars, two parents, and three kids, not four. Just moments later, the phone rings. It's the principal of the school calling, saying, "We wanted you to know that we've still got Carol. She hasn't been picked up yet. She's safe, fine. Nothing's wrong. She's keeping the teachers in peals of laughter and well entertained. But as soon as you can, you might want to pick her up." So one of my parents rushes off to the school to grab my sister and bring her home for the evening. It might have been like that. Mary and Joseph sit down, ready to have dinner at the end of a long day of traveling, only to realize the third person from their family they were expecting to be at dinner is nowhere to be found. He's not with friends or relatives who were also traveling from Jerusalem to Nazareth. And then their panic probably sets in. 12-year-old Jesus, however, is back at the temple, safe and sound, no problems. He's in the middle of a conversation with the religious teachers. Mary and Joseph don't know that, though, so they go back to Jerusalem and begin searching. And it takes them 3 days before they find where Jesus has been hiding this whole time, though he wasn't intending to hide. And being a typical parent, when they find Jesus, Mary begins to question him about his disappearance. She must have been worried and upset because he'd stayed in Jerusalem. It had been a few days since they had seen him. She says, "We've been searching for you in great anxiety." To which Jesus, a typical 12-year-old boy, says, "Why were you searching for me?" And Mary may have responded like most parents, "What do you mean, why? We're your parents." Every child knows the drill. But what's fascinating about this encounter is how it draws and emphasizes Jesus' humanity and gives us a small glimpse into what it must have been like to be a part of the one we call holy family. Our word this week is search. Mary and Joseph search for their lost child. They search for Jesus, the one who will soon be the one who searches for the least, the lost, and the lowly. Jesus, however, at this point, is searching for answers. He's developing into adulthood and, above all, discovering his mission as the Son of God. The Epistle to the Hebrews affirms Jesus' experience as common to humans. Hebrews chapter 5 puts it this way. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Just like any other human being, Jesus learned to obey his heavenly Father. And so we find him learning the ropes of faith and deepening his understanding of who he is and what he's called to do as the Messiah, as a 12-year-old boy sitting in the temple, speaking with the religious leaders. Jesus is figuring out how to juggle the importance of his family life with the uncontainable and inevitable coming of age that he faces. He's learning what it means to be about his heavenly parents' business. God wants us, like Jesus, to give an account of our whereabouts, literal and spiritual, but at the same time, invites us to explore, discern, ask questions, and search for answers. Verse 49, Jesus asks the question, "Why were you searching for me?" I wonder if we get asked a similar question by Jesus. Where are you searching for me? Where are you searching for me? And perhaps we can answer Jesus in some really practical ways. Maybe we'd say, "Well, Jesus, we search for you and seek you in scripture, in prayer, in worship, in small groups and Bible studies, as we meditate and through our spiritual disciplines." Or maybe we say, "We're not sure where to search for you next, Jesus." Or maybe we say, "It's been a while since we've searched for you, Jesus, but we'll take it up again." I hope that you hear this invitation to search as permission to explore your Bible, to ask questions of what you read and see there, and to ask questions of the church as well, to engage in reflection and to give time to the spiritual matters in your life. May we each find that we have inquiring minds and search for our faith and its meaning. Oftentimes we pay attention to the spiritual formation of our children and our youth. We want them to grow and be nurtured. But that's not the only time in our lives where we can grow with Jesus. We also have that need to grow and continue our faith development long beyond childhood so that we can continue to grow in favor with God and in discipleship. Our lives are filled with lots of searching. So I hope that searching for Jesus is one of the ways that you are searching in the coming year. The good news for us is that, like Mary and Joseph, the search does have an end point. Jesus shows us the way to God. However, there is a little bit of a scary part there, because perhaps our search doesn't end where we expect it to, doesn't lead us to where we thought we were going. You see, Mary and Joseph searched for Jesus for 3 days before finally finding him. Though on the third day, they do find him alive and well. But they didn't find him in the expected places, the safe confines of his extended family or friends, or the familiar company of pilgrims also in their caravan. After 3 days, Mary and Joseph find Jesus alive and well in the temple in Jerusalem among the teachers of the law. Now it's this company that he's keeping where it will all end for Jesus one day, where he will stand trial and conviction, where he will be handed over to be killed. Where Mary and Joseph find Jesus alive and well after 3 days, they did not expect. Now, if that sounds a lot like Easter, that's because Luke is already hinting of that here, of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus, dead and buried, is raised on the third day. And there's a new temple, the resurrected body of Christ. Our search will come to an end in new life, in meaningful life, in the life that God intends, but it's not always the life that we expect. But that's for us, life as an Easter people. But these days, for Jesus, we hear that he returns to Nazareth. He disappears back into the fabric of his hometown, perhaps for another 2 decades or so. Jesus is in an out-of-the-way place, in the company of ordinary people, much like us. And it's there and here that Jesus continues to grow in wisdom and in stature in divine and human favor. The good news is that this description of Jesus is the description of every child of God, no matter our age. We all grow as we respond to God's love, and in Christ we can expect nothing else. Thanks be to God. Amen.